Springfield Symphony Orchestra is getting ready for their locally grown show that will be going on Saturday, this upcoming Saturday, two performances, 2 p.m., 7:30 p.m. Listen Wednesday for a chance to win tickets to the show. You can get more details at ksgf.com. Coming up, a email showing that the American Federation of Teachers successfully lobbied the CDC to change its guidance on school reopenings in order to make them friendlier to keeping closed down. So in other words, the CDC making decisions not based on science, but on a pro-Biden union was asking them to, you know, to make it. And so that's what's guiding them, or at least in this one particular area. So we'll talk a little bit about that. Also calls for, you know, the left. We're really seeing where the racism in this country is. And the way that people on the left, not all people, but whenever a black person in this country has a diverse perspective, in other words, doesn't support Joe Biden, doesn't support Democrats, they are viciously attacked in the public forum. And there are calls for one Democrat lawmaker to step down because of a racial slur that he used against Tim Scott of South Carolina. And if you want to know where the real racism is in this country, look at people who call individual African Americans racist terms because they don't believe what they're supposed to believe. We should have known. I mean, many of us did. When you had a guy running for president that flat out said, "You don't count, you're not black if you don't support me." That mindset of ownership, that I own you, you're nothing, you're not black without me, that should have been a huge red flag. I mean, it was to a lot of us in this country, that idea. Nobody owns anybody in this country in that capacity. And to be so brazen about it, and then, you know, when there was a little bit of backlash, "Oh, I probably shouldn't have said it." No, that wasn't the problem. I also have a really great story that's a fake news story. And some of these newspapers, they will read the most absurd satirical stories out there, think that they're real. Here's why it's important, because it tells you their perspective on things. Okay? And there's a story, it was a satirical story about Ted Nugent and Kid Rock. I stumbled upon this looking for something else, actually, that I was told was a story, and I was searching for it, and then I stumbled upon this instead. And so what occurred with this story, and it's just hilarious quotes in it, so clearly over the top, any thinking person would know it wasn't true. But the Detroit News apparently didn't realize that. So they had to apologize for writing up a piece regarding this particular story. It involved a deathbed. I'll share some of the quotes with you coming up after Jason's news. First alert forecast, 40% chance of afternoon showers, storms, high of 80. Today, showers, storms likely tonight, could be severe, low of 58. Rainfall amounts between a quarter and half an inch possible. Tomorrow, showers, possibly a thunderstorm. Temperatures will fall. It's going to be one of those days where, as the day progresses, it gets cooler, with an eventual temperature of 56, that around noon, and Wednesday, sunny, 67 for the high. It is 59. Oh, man. All right, here's why I like this. We like stories oftentimes when you have somebody who is supposed to be a journalist. I don't even want to say get tricked, because this isn't a matter of getting tricked. You have these satirical news sites that play off of stereotypes. People are familiar with The Onion and the Babylon Bee. There are many others out there as well. And they're not meant to trick anybody at all. They're meant to be funny. They're meant to play off of the stereotypes that are there for certain groups of people. And then what occurs is you get a lefty every so often because that's really what they view the average American as you know, they're described in order to be funny, and they think it's true. And so to me, it's not so much that you've got this person from the Detroit News that thought this was a news story, but you know, in their minds, this is what they think of Trump supporters. This is what they think of when it comes to people who aren't of the left. So MetroTimes.com reporting. Our rule at Metro Times is that satire should be so over the top that no reasonable person would mistake it for the truth. But the ramblings of Ted Nugent and Kid Rock are so extreme that it can be hard to distinguish them from fiction, apparently even with members of their own in-group. Case in point, Detroit News editorial page editor Nolan Finley apologized Friday after he published a short item in his newsletter about the two rock stars, failing to realize that it was from a satirical website called The Hard Times. Nolan admitted in a Friday newsletter, "Sloppy work from me." Tuesday's newsletter included an item about a bedside visit between an ailing Ted Nugent and Kid Rock. "I failed to notice it was from a satirical website and was a spoof. My apologies. I should have been more careful." Now, earlier this week, Nugent had revealed that he had been diagnosed with COVID-19 and it left him bedridden for days. The Detroit News original item has since been deleted, but it read, "Nobody does COVID-19 like Ted Nugent. The Motor City Madman is down with the virus and summoned his buddy and fellow Detroit rocker Kid Rock to his bedside for a symbolic passing of the torch should he not recover." The link then sent readers to the article from The Hard Times that the Detroit News didn't realize was a spoof site. The article was filled with fake quotes that apparently didn't set off any alarm bells at the Detroit News, including one in which the ailing Nugent endorses Kid Rock as his successor by saying, quote, "Whether it's threatening elected officials, taking a near sexual pleasure from killing animals, or engaging in inappropriate relationships with adolescent girls, Kid Rock must be ready to lead by these principles." Another quote attributed to a roadie named Dusty the Stink Booker calls Nugent a, quote, "washed up, over-opinionated, generally racist knob," adding, "being a reactionary douchebag who appeals to the lowest common denominator and stopped being taken seriously as a musician years ago, Kid Rock is the best choice." And the kicker, quote, "at press time, Kid Rock was actively trying to scrub all evidence that he actually grew up as a spoiled rich kid from the internet in preparation for his induction." Now, the Metro Times asked the question, did Finley even read the original article? I'm sure he did. But just like totally absurd stories regarding Trump, for example, renting out a Moscow hotel room that the Obamas used and urinating on the bed to show his disrespect. Now, these are things that are so absurd that you'd think no thinking person could ever believe them to be true. But that shows you what many of these people on the left think of Trump supporters, of middle America, of the part of America that, you know, goes swimming at Lake of the Ozarks and loves Kid Rock, loves Ted Nugent. In their minds, that rings true to them when they hear those quotes. So it doesn't surprise me. Honestly, not only do I believe that this guy from the Detroit News read the article, but I believe that those quotes are what made him believe that it was true. Because of the extreme, nasty stereotype that so many people on the left have about people who don't belong to their little clique. And frankly, a lot of it's because they don't know anyone who isn't a liberal. If you notice, liberals have no interest in communicating with, having conversations with, socializing with people who aren't just like them. Well, when that happens, you lose that understanding and that knowledge of what other people are like. And much like people in a cult who end up with these extreme views of what the rest of the world is like, they become part of this echo chamber where the most absurd satirical quotes can be attributed to someone and they buy it hook, line, and sinker. Springfield's Talk 104.1, I'm Nick Reed. Streaming live our audio and video. You can watch the show play out. Even when it's done, it's over, you can go back and watch it on Facebook. That is sponsored by American Transmissions. The American Federation of Teachers successfully lobbied the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention to change its guidance on school reopenings, according to emails obtained by the Washington Examiner. As the CDC was preparing to issue guidance that it was safe to reopen schools fully back in February, emails obtained through a Freedom of Information Act request revealed that the AFT was behind the scenes lobbying the agency and the Biden administration to adjust the guidance to make it friendlier to school closures and hybrid learning. AFT Senior Director for Health Issues, Kelly Trouther, wrote in one of the emails, quote, "Thank you again for Friday's rich discussion about forthcoming CDC guidance and for your openness to the suggestions made by our president, Randy Weingarten, and the AFT. We were able to review a copy of the draft guidance document over the weekend, and we were able to provide some initial feedback to several staff this morning about possible ways to strengthen the document. We believe our experiences on the ground can inform and enrich thinking around what is practical and prudent in future guidance documents." Now, what other institution can possibly do this? I mean, I suppose a government institution. I thought we were supposed to listen to the CDC. Whatever the CDC said goes. In fact, you have the oligarchs that run some of these social media platforms that remove anything. For example, you got YouTube. What was it, just a few weeks ago? DeSantis of Florida had a town hall style meeting with three scientists and or doctors. Fit one or two or both of the categories. And what was the issue they were talking about specifically? They were talking about schools. And how the continued shutdowns of some schools and the wearing of masks and so forth isn't something that they believe is backed up by science. And so YouTube removed it because it ran counter to what the CDC was saying. Well, it appears as if the CDC was ready to say or to issue guidelines more in line with what DeSantis and that town hall meeting they were discussing than they actually ended up issuing because of influence by a lobbyist organization. See, this is why you can't trust these people. Who's calling the shots and why? I mean, we've got a lobbyist organization now. You and I and our children, whether or not the recommendations, whatever the recommendations are regarding the CDC, is at least to some degree being written and dictated by a lobbyist organization. That's not science. And then you know what is remarkable about this? The Trump administration, Trump specifically, was characterized as somebody that was a bully and he would threaten people if they didn't say what he wanted them to say. And that he was causing distrust in organizations like the CDC because at times he would openly, I mean, he would question certain recommendations. But I can tell you there is nothing that does more damage to the reputation of the CDC than realizing and recognizing that they are allowing outside influences that are, in this case, lobbyist organizations that are pro-Biden to tell them what the guidelines are going to be. regarding them. Does the business community get to do that? Did restaurant owners get to do that? When you had, based on CDC recommendations, small businesses being completely shut down and destroyed, did they get to raise their hand and say, actually, we'd like to rewrite some of these rules to better fit what we're looking to do? Were they able to do that? No, they weren't. Because we're supposed to listen to the science. We're supposed to listen to the CDC. But I guess if you have enough money, like the American Federation of Teachers, and that money flows to the political party in charge, there are certain benefits. And one of those benefits, I suppose, is getting to write policy. Instead of it being decided by health. Instead of it being decided by science. The reason that people do not trust the recommendations coming out of institutions like the CDC is because of their own behavior, not because someone told them not to trust them, but because of this very sort of scenario. Springfield's Talk 104.1. I'm Nick Reed. So in addition to these emails obtained by the Washington Examiner showing the CDC altering their guidelines, recommendations, evidently they had planned on telling all of us and recommending, based on science, that in February, this past February, schools could be fully open. But then the teachers' unions intervened. They were allowed to intervene. They were allowed basically to get a preview and then to send it back and say, we've made some red marks through this. And the CDC obeyed. Now you have some in the Biden administration saying they don't even know if schools will fully be able to open back up in fall. Now, is this what Biden said he needed to get elected in order to do? I thought Trump had screwed this whole thing up and people were dying, and within 100 days, Biden was going to turn it all around. And here we're saying the kids, the safest amongst us, those who are least likely to get sick and extremely least likely to get any sort of serious illness and up to and including death. And Biden is saying even after almost a year, he still doesn't know that he's going to be able to get them back. What sort of opening is that? And he's out there still wearing masks, and it's being noted, hey, the CDC is saying when you're outdoors, if you've been vaccinated and you're around small groups of other vaccinated people, you don't need to wear a mask, but Biden keeps doing it. To which a senior advisor to the administration saying, well, you know, he's taking some extra precautions. From what? And then they run around and they blame Trump somehow for people not getting vaccinated. Not the fact that the people who are the leaders in this country get vaccinated and then act as if they're not. You know, I watched it's all of this is so absurd. As you watch the State of the Union, all of those people that were fully vaccinated, all of them at least 6 feet apart from one another. And the one person who wasn't wearing a mask was the one who arguably would be, if he did have it, he would be spreading it because he was the one that was talking. I mean, there is nothing about any of this that we've been watching play out lately regarding masks and the vaccine that has anything to do with science. Here's the latest traffic. On demand section, anything you miss, you can catch at a later time, later date, KSGF.com, the app, Spotify, iTunes, all of that. On demand, sponsored by Gun Tech Nixa. Don Carriker, we spoke to him on Friday, still had that paid internship, apprenticeship available. Applicants should have a history of extremely high customer service, very detail-oriented math expertise, and wanting to have a really solid career. If you want more information about this, you can go to iwantagreathomeloan.com, and of course that's your one stop for all when it comes to any home loan needs you have, any questions, how to contact Don or Alex Carriker regarding those questions. And of course you can find the contact information as well under the Nick's endorsement section at ksgf.com. And that'll get you over there. If you forget, iwantagreathomeloan.com. It's all in order to make things as convenient as possible for you. Texas Governor Greg Abbott calling on a Democratic Party official in the state to step down from office following his, quote, disgusting racial slur regarding Senator Tim Scott. Abbott tweeted Saturday, "This is disgusting, hateful, and completely unacceptable. O'Connor must apologize to Senator Tim Scott and step down." He was responding to a since-deleted Facebook post from Lamar County Democrat Party Chairman Gary O'Connor that called Scott a, quote, Oreo, following his Republican rebuttal to President Joe Biden's address in Congress, Oreo referring to a black person who's perceived as acting like a white person. So black on the outside, white on the inside. The post reads, "I had hoped that Scott might show some common sense, but it seems clear he's a little more than an Oreo with no real principles." O'Connor has faced calls from other Texas political leaders to step down, including Republican Representative Pat Fallon. Gary O'Connor's comments against Senator Tim Scott is abhorrent, insulting, and unforgivable. Both he and the entire Lamar County Democratic Party should be ashamed of the racist behavior. This kind of behavior is not tolerated in Texas. It is in the Democrat Party. I mean, let's just be honest about it. If you are black, and it's not just if you are LGBTQ, if you are Hispanic, if you are a woman, you are supposed to behave a certain way. And if you don't, you will be mocked. You will be ridiculed. You will be insulted. They will call you the nastiest names they can in order to punish you and to send a message to others who dare step out of line. You know, they go on and they label themselves as individuals that have a great admiration for people of this category or that category. No, they don't. Look at how they treat people in each of the categories that they create if they step out of line. When it comes to women, look how they treated Sarah Palin versus Kamala Harris. Kamala Harris is a good girl, see? She knows her place. Look at how they treated Melania Trump versus Jill Biden. See, Jill knows her place. Look at how they treat... Barack Obama versus Tim Scott. There, you are supposed to stay in your place. That's what they believe. Now, everyone presumably believes that their side is correct, right? So people on the left could say, well, you don't agree with people of color when they take positions that are on the left. Well, that's correct. But I think that they have a right to come up to their own conclusion. They may be wrong, but that doesn't make them some horrible, awful person because, well, you're supposed to believe this way because of your skin color. If you notice with the left, they always, that's their attacking point. And they really expose themselves every so often with the, you know, Biden's remarks, if you don't support me, you're not black, or Chelsea Handler talking about her ex-boyfriend, whomever, I don't even, some celebrity, some athlete or musician that she had dated who was black. Was it 50 Cent, maybe? And he said that there were some things he liked about Trump, and she publicly let everyone know that she corrected him, made sure he understood he was black. I mean, just listen to the way that they speak about people of color. I mean, it is clear where the hatred and the racism lies in this country. And there's a great deal of history to back it up. Now, I'm waiting to see the fallout. Caitlyn Jenner has come out against boys competing against girls. Well, you just wait. We are going to see an evisceration occur. Caitlyn Jenner opposes boys who are trans playing sports on girls' teams at school. Do you know why? Because Caitlyn Jenner points out it's unfair. All right, we'll talk about that here coming up. Oh, boy. That crucifixion just around the corner for Caitlyn Jenner. First alert forecast, we got that 40% chance of afternoon showers, thunderstorms, a high today of 80. Showers, thunderstorms likely tonight. Some could be severe. Quarter to half an inch of rain is possible. Showers, possibly a thunderstorm tomorrow. Temperatures falling to around 56 by noon. And Wednesday, sunny 67. Current temp is 60. Here's an updated traffic. Fox News reporting Caitlyn Jenner, who recently announced a California gubernatorial run on Saturday, came out against allowing transgender athletes who were born male to compete on girls' sports teams. Jenner, a former Olympic athlete who famously came out as a transgender in 2015, waded into a controversial issue that has sparked Republican-backed legislatures in states across the country. Jenner telling TMZ, "This is a question of fairness. That's why I oppose biological boys who are trans competing in girls in school. It just isn't fair, and we have to protect girls in our schools." Now, one of two things are going to happen here. Jenner is either going to stick to her guns or will walk it back saying that it was a transgender herself. She recognizes that, you know, a lot of this is new territory and apologizes that if her position has hurt anyone and has a lot to learn, on this particular issue and is open, blah, 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 you know, that sort of thing. Now, I tell you, if Jenner sticks to this position, there's a lot of credit that's deserved there. Because there is nothing harder than being part of a categorized group that the left portrays themselves as being a champion of and coming out against Democrat beliefs. You get destroyed. You get told that you're not a real transgender or a real black person or a real LGBTQ+. This seems, let me tell you why this is obvious, really, in reality, this position. Because Jenner, before Caitlyn was Bruce, was an athlete. And that is a simple recognition of what everybody honestly knows, and that biological males have a physical advantage over females. As a person who won in the Olympics, Jenner knows that. I mean, you can only is there honestly a better point person to get thoughts on this than a person who is transgender and an athlete, but not currently competing to where they can, you know, have the potential of trying to game the system? Jenner knows, as Jenner's time as Bruce, that there is an advantage there. And Jenner also knows that simply because Bruce became Caitlyn, the physical attributes that helped benefit him as an athlete over women when it came to particular sports, those things have not changed. We hear so much from the left about listening and understanding and respecting transgenders for who they are. I wonder if they're going to hold true to that position when it comes to Jenner's thoughts on this, because this is part of who Caitlyn Jenner is. As a former athlete, a person who believes on, you know, science and then his own experiences, that there is a clear advantage and forcing girls to compete against biological boys is wrong and it's unfair and it puts women back at the mercy of whatever a man wants. So that is part of who Caitlyn Jenner is, because that's Caitlyn Jenner's experiences as not just an athlete but a transgender person. So are we going to respect that? Or are we going to bully Caitlyn Jenner for this position? I think we know what the left will do. Because as a transgender, Caitlyn Jenner is supposed to believe a certain set of things, and it's what the left says Caitlyn Jenner is supposed to believe. And I can't speak from experience. And I haven't really followed, I'm not somebody who, I'm sure to some degree this transition has been documented as part of the Kardashian deal, you know, the show there, to some degree. There's a very good chance that the biggest bullying as a transgender that Caitlyn Jenner is going to experience is about to come. But it's not going to be from conservatives. Springfield's Talk 104.1. I'm Nick Reed. One of the observations over time that I've had is a recognition that those, and it's not always the case, but generally speaking, when it comes to a person's, you know, stance on things, that generally those on the right, they really truly don't care if you're a woman, if you're, you know, if you're gay. That really ultimately, when it comes to a position of, you know, running for office, that most don't care. Or some, they may not personally agree with it, but there is a greater tolerance, I've learned over time, that people on the right have. In other words, well, I may not agree with this particular aspect of your life, but, you know, that's not why I'm electing you. That's not what my vote's being cast on. As opposed to, generally speaking, those on the left, that's really all that seems to matter, is whether or not the person is, you know, they lead with their skin color, but at the same time, or their gender identity. But at the same time, they have to play the role properly. And that is as an individual who believes what they're told that they're supposed to believe, which is why they say you don't count as one if you don't fall in line. And it's just, to me, so I can't imagine. Everyone's different. I just can't imagine viewing people through that lens. Viewing people based on their looks and that being the most important thing, and then they have to behave a certain way because of their looks. I mean, think about that for a moment when it comes to, let's say, skin color. This idea that you have to behave a certain way, you have to believe certain things because of the way you look, think how absurd that is. But that's what they're told. Or they have to believe certain things because of their sexuality. Like if you're gay, well, that must mean you have to believe in higher taxes. I mean, how stupid is that? You have to be against school choice if you are a part of the LGBTQ community, because you have to believe what Democrats believe. Otherwise, you don't count. How dehumanizing that position is. It takes absolute and complete humanity out of our relationships with one another to place those demands. I knew that this was coming, oddly enough, back with one of the, I don't know if it was a Miss USA or Miss America pageant. And they began, I don't know if it was Carrie Prejean, was that her name? They asked her her belief on gay marriage, and she gave the quote wrong answer. And that's when I realized that we were shifting in this society from genuinely being interested and curious as to what people think and why they think it, to instead asking questions to see whether or not you qualify to live amongst us. A litmus test. You know, it's essentially the modern day version of how they used to test people to see if they were a witch. And if you fail, you will be destroyed. And the total and complete lack of humanity, and you never, the idea that somehow that will lead to a more unified society. News in 60 seconds.